Rising unemployment seeing more people heading to mediation, putting pressure on already stretched services. And in an ironic twist, mediators are among the MB staff becoming redundant. The Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment says around half of mediations involved dismissals, while demand for their services is up a quarter on the same time a year ago. Wait times for mediation services are as much as 7 weeks, and employment lawyers are concerned this could get worse. Bronwyn Heenan is a partner in Simpson Grierson's employment law group. She says mediation's highly successful when it's used, and the way the Employment Relations Act is laid out, Bronwyn says, quote, all roads lead to mediation. Almost all cases have to go there before any further actions like going to the employment courts. More from MB in a moment. We have a statement from them. And we're also going to hear from Lars Hansen, who is the senior lawyer at the Taranaki Community Law Centre. But first, Bronwyn Heenan says she expects delays to get worse.
Demand for services is certainly on the rise in the recession, although we haven't really seen the full impact of the recession hit the mediation service demand limit yet, because, of course, the public sector in particular is still going through significant rounds of redundancies, and a lot of those people are still either in consultation or have recently just been made redundant. So we expect demand to increase even further when challenges to any of those dismissals or processes come about.
Can you explain what the kinds of cases are that occur at times like this, where there's rising unemployment, when there's a lot of redundancies? What sorts of cases will come to mediation?
Well, all roads lead to mediation, so all matters effectively have to be mediated. And of course, it's a low-level type of resolution dispute where even if employers and employees have ongoing employment relationship problems before a termination, they can go off to mediation and get the assistance of the mediator to try and resolve those problems. So what we are seeing is a number of employees being made redundant and bringing unjustified dismissal claims and going to mediation to try and resolve those claims. But also what we're seeing, because of the recession and because the job market is so tight, a number of employees or significant numbers of employees are sticking and staying in their employment, even if they're not particularly happy with where they are, whereas they might have previously backed themselves to go to the job market and find another job. So we're also seeing a number of those employment relationship problems between employers and employees in existing relationships also needing that assistance from a skilled mediator to help. And it's those ongoing employment relationships where it's really important to be able to get a quick mediation date.
So workplaces are stressed. And relationships are stressed.
Workplaces are stressed, relationships are stressed. And unfortunately, MB, you go to MB's website and it says we're experiencing really high demand, try and find another way of resolving your issue. And a number of those ways are trying to talk to your employer or talk to your employee. But for any one of especially our smaller employees, and as you know, New Zealand is a nation of, you know, small to medium-sized businesses, they just don't have the resources or the capability or human resources departments to assist them, to help them to resolve those problems, which is why it's really important that that mediation remains available to them.
On the question of unjustified dismissal claims, are these things like constructive dismissal? Actually, this isn't a redundancy, this is you forcing me out. Is that the kind of thing?
It could be constructive dismissal, although constructive dismissal is one of the more unusual claims in employment law, because it's really hard to prove that your employer adopted a course of conduct fully designed to dismiss you. But we are still seeing a number of dismissals for serious misconduct, poor performance, or the other type of dismissal could be for medical incapacity. But we don't see so much constructive dismissal, just because that's such a very high threshold to be able to prove that to the Employment Relations Authority, if that's where the matter ends up.
This question, though, of your ability to challenge redundancy, given there are so many at the moment, this is a mechanism by which you can and, in fact, will challenge it?
Yes, it's the only mechanism you've got. So if you consider that your redundancy was unjustified, then you would raise a personal grievance of unjustified dismissal. And there are two limbs to that. The dismissal has to have been affected in a procedurally fair manner, and the process is just as important as there being substantive or good reasons for the dismissal. So you have to have your process absolutely correct, because an incorrect process in some circumstances can render the dismissal unjustified. And also you have to have the substantive reasons for the dismissal. So, for example, a lot of the recent public sector announcements, obviously that is, we've got less money, we've got to find budget savings, that's our substantive reason, but you still have to get the process right. Raise your claim or your personal grievance for unjustified dismissal, and then you have to go to mediation before you can continue to pursue that claim in the Employment Relations Authority.
So let's just look at the numbers here. MBIE's told us they've delivered 3,636 mediations since July last year, up a quarter, as we said, on the previous year, demand is. But now we get to what's happening in 2024, and these delays are just blowing out. 7 weeks, and you're indicating that's likely to get worse, given rising demand.
It absolutely will get worse, given the rising demand. And that 7 weeks also potentially focuses on the ability to offer a mediation over Zoom. I think MBIE came back and said it was easier for a mediation on Zoom, given the allocation of resources, which does make sense. But face-to-face mediation are really important, and that's often the mediation that will actually help you resolve the issues. If you're all able to sit in a room together round a table and have that conversation, rather than being in various virtual rooms on a mediation and not sitting together. So the in-person mediations are the ones that are even harder to get potentially than a Zoom mediation.
I mentioned there's an ironic twist that at this time when their services are so in demand, MBIE itself is losing mediation staff. What it has told us is that the mediation service had funding out of the fair pay system under the previous government. Now that system's repealed, MBIE's in the process of closing out those activities and must return $12.9 million of fair pay funding by 30th June. This means we've closed vacant positions and disestablished positions following consultations earlier this year. Some people have also taken advantage of the voluntary redundancy process. We don't have a number, we're seeking it from MBIE as to exactly how many mediators it's lost. It's got 28 left. But could you comment on what's happening and right at the time when demand is soaring?
Absolutely. So my understanding is that when the Act first came into force back in October 2000, there were sort of 45 to 50 mediators, and that number has steadily declined as the population has grown and demand has increased. I've heard anecdotally, and this will be for MBIE to confirm or otherwise, that actually 20% of the mediators took voluntary redundancy. So there was a significant number. And I know they talk about the fair pay agreement team, but I don't know whether or not they used that funding allocation to then fund their mediators that would provide mediation services under the Employment Relations Act or not. So I'm not quite sure of the correlation between the fair pay money and the funding of mediators, but certainly I do know a number availed themselves of the opportunity that was offered by MBIE to take voluntary redundancy.
But what they're saying is they've also closed any new employment, right, and vacant positions. So you're saying you can't necessarily see a clear link between the demise of the fair pay system and the number of mediators they ought to have?
That's right, because a number of mediators that have been there for, you know, for a long period of time are some of those ones that have taken voluntary redundancy. I don't know if they're working on the fair pay system and agreements, and that will be something for MBIE to answer. But certainly my understanding is that irrespective of the fair pay agreements work, and I think even in the response from MBIE, they have talked about some of their people or mediators also having chosen to take voluntary redundancy. So the fair pay agreements money might play into it, but I also think separate and above that, mediators have taken the opportunity that was offered to them to take voluntary redundancy, which has reduced the overall pool of mediators available in a time where actually we either need to be at least maintaining the status quo, but probably the reality is actually finding more mediators.
How many do you think they need, putting fair pay to one side, how many do you think they need to manage the situation going forward?
I think they've said they've currently got 28 FTEs. I would have, but it's difficult to know, but I would have thought they probably need upwards of 40 potentially, okay. Given where we're sitting.
And another comment here from MBIE, we continue to prioritise urgent cases such as applications relating to industrial action or live employment relationships for earlier mediation dates. That's what you were talking about earlier, stress workplaces and needing to sort out what's happening. Current wait times are as quick as 3 days and on average 24 days for individual disputes and within 2 to 11 days for collective disputes. However, where does that leave everyone else and people who are challenging their redundancy, Bronwyn?
Well, it leaves them in a bit of a difficult position and significant delays because, of course, they're not the ongoing employment relationships, so they would be raising their personal grievance post the termination of their employment. And then, as I say, you can't go to the Employment Relations Authority or have your claim progressed in the authority without mediating. So you have to wait for that mediation date. That might be 3 months, say. And then after that, then you start into commencing your claim in the Employment Relations Authority. And that is also, as you can imagine, quite busy. So, without being able to mediate quickly, you then can't progress if you don't settle in mediation to the authority. But even if you can settle, it delays the time that you might get any remedy from your unjustified dismissal, because often cases settle at mediation. Up to 85% of cases settle pre-mediation or before the authority stage. But the longer you have to wait for that mediation, the longer you might be without funds, without an income, and all of those sorts of things.
All right, thank you, Bronwyn. Let's bring in Lars Hansen now. Bronwyn Heenan, we've just been speaking to there as a partner with Simpson Grierson's Employment Law Group. Lars Hansen, senior lawyer at the Taranaki Community Law Centre. Morning, Lars. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you.
So, can you just add some knowledge from your area about what you're experiencing here on both sides of the ledger, growing demand in a retrenching employment environment, and then what's happening with the availability of mediators?
Well, what Bronwyn has said is completely accurate from what I've seen lately. And one of the issues here is that she is entirely correct that mediation is the gateway to pursuing any type of access to justice. One of the big problems that we're seeing is we are seeing that increase in a lot of personal grievances and that stress in the workplace. And because mediation services has that delay, it is just causing more and more problems. I've got mediations that I'm still waiting for to be scheduled, and they've been waiting for several weeks, and I've got one that'll be looking at waiting probably close to 2.5 months. But that's not entirely mediation services' problem. Now, mediation, as Bronwyn said, can be done in various modes: face to face, Zoom, by phone. They've even got the early resolution team. Zoom, of course, is always much easier to schedule. That would be the way to get the quickest mediation. With the prioritizing of industrial disputes, it does cause that delay in resolving those personal grievances. We do see a lot of matters resolved quite quickly when you can organize a negotiation. We can try and settle them as quickly as possible
And
because one of the
presumably,
big
Lars, presumably in the delays, everyone's minds are ticking over, and it's not doing much to help the relationship or the stress, is it, the delay?
No, it causes a lot of stress on the individuals, both the employer and employee. Because for the employee, as you said, the economy is not well financially, they're very stressed. So they do look at their options being quite limited.
Could you give us a little bit of insight? I'm not sure if you've got cases at the moment, it doesn't have to be right at the moment anyway, with respect to people challenging a redundancy, because obviously in private sector and public sector, this is happening up and down the country. And some people who are unionised, there may be a union involved in a company's redundancy proposals. But in other instances, what could you give us a bit of a case study of how people might challenge it?
Well, basically, the first thing is when people are notified of the potential redundancy, they generally go seek advice immediately. That would be the first step, because then they can get advice on how the process should be run, what they should be looking at, what information the employer should be giving to the employee so that they can make a genuine attempt at feedback. It really is about information and process. It's establishing whether that business case is robust and their ability with that information to be able to put forward alternatives, because they are literally asking the employer, please don't make me redundant, or please consider my circumstances here because I need a job. Once the process is complete, then they look at their option of raising a personal grievance based on the process and whether or not there's that substantive reason for making the role redundant. If they decide to raise a personal grievance, that's the first step. Once the personal grievance is raised, as Bronwyn said, the next step is mediation. It's a statutory step. It's the primary resolution mechanism under the Act, and it is the gateway to the authority. So at that point there, right now, we're seeing the bottleneck.
Okay. Can they also make a case for redeployment, say, rather than redundancy? I'm just curious as to how successful these challenges are very often.
Well, I can't give you the statistics on how many redundancies are successful or not, but yes, there is that option of either interim reinstatement or negotiation into an alternative role. But that, again, now depends on the employer, because I am aware that some employers have policies where they will not reemploy people that have just been made redundant.
Even if that redundancy is still in challenge?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Yeah. One wonders, though, whether in mediation or even going forward to the employment court process in the end, one could argue, is a redundancy complete when it's being challenged and when redeployment is posited as an alternative? But I've heard what you've said. Final observation on this question of live employment relationships. So there's no termination proposed, but the stress of the current environment is harming relationships. Is that something you are seeing very much in your practice, and how can that play out?
Yes, we are seeing that type of situation. Not as common as the current level of personal grievances that are being raised, but where you can't get a mediation quickly, but this is where mediation services does look to prioritize the mediations and the type of issues coming forward. If there's a employment relationship still in place, then they will look to try and prioritize that. They will look to try and keep that employment up and running, if I put it that way, and hopefully come to a resolution where both the employer and employee can work with and keep that employment in place. With that, though, yes, there are delays. One of the delays that is quite prevalent at the moment is the face-to-face mediation. Basically, I know in New Plymouth that for a face-to-face mediation, you won't get one until July. That's how busy they are with face-to-face mediations at the moment. So they're fully booked through June. I just got that email yesterday, actually.
And what does that do to any chance of success in a process? Success being both parties being comparatively satisfied with the outcome. Realistically, what does that kind of delay do to that prospect?
Realistically, it puts the employment in jeopardy because both parties are stressed. They see issues with each other and they're not comfortable talking to each other without assistance. Now, that's where the assistance can actually come from different areas, but one of the problems is the ability of resource. Bronwyn has mentioned the small employer and the resources they have capable to them, but it's also the same with the employee. They don't necessarily have the resources to be able to afford a private mediation, for instance. There are private mediators, but they charge for their services, whereas MBIE is providing a free service. So that too can be a barrier to resolving matters early. There's lots of different situations that can help resolve a problem that is in place like this, but it comes down to both parties being able to access resources. Employees can access his resources through engaging a lawyer. Employers can access resources through, again, also engaging a lawyer or their own internal human resources. But it's a matter of communication. That's one of the things with mediation. It is about communication and trying to put forward your issues in a confidential and safe manner. That's one of the primary things with mediation, is it is confidential.
That is our guest, the mediator in New Plymouth at the Taranaki Community Law Centre, Lars Hansen. Thanks also to Bronwyn Heenan, I was speaking to earlier, a partner in Simpson Grierson's Employment Law Group. We have a statement through from MB. I've referred to it several times already in the name of Pele Walker, Director Dispute Resolutions Employment Services. Just some other relevant parts of that statement. While fair pay funding has been pulled meaning positions have been disestablished, including vacancies. The primary cause of longer wait times is a significant rise in demand for our employment services, which is to be expected in current economic conditions. As I mentioned earlier, MB must return $12.9 million in funding by the end of next month, following the revocation of the Fair Pay Agreement system. This is why we have closed vacant positions and disestablished positions following consultations earlier this year. Some of our people have also chosen to take advantage of voluntary redundancy. MB has 28 full-time medias employed, and there are contracted service providers to meet peaks. MB's prioritising urgent cases such as applications relating to industrial action or live employment relationships. And Pally Walker says average wait times are 24 days for individual disputes. That's around 5 weeks, which is comparable to Australia's 5 weeks for conciliation. As we said, MB's website is citing wait times between 4 and 7 weeks.